This is Stray FM. It's the Harrogate Family Law Show. Thank you for listening. And we're talking about the cost of divorce today. And maintenance is the topic now.
Mm.
If you have a divorce, if you're going through a divorce, do you have to pay maintenance?
Ooh, it depends. I'm sorry, there is not a straightforward answer. Let's have a chat first of all about the types of maintenance. Yeah. Let's have a chat about that. So there's two kinds. The first that I'm going to talk about is what's known as child maintenance. And then the second type is for the benefit of your spouse, so your wife or your husband, and that's spousal maintenance. So child maintenance. What we have to look at first of all is who lives with the child and who doesn't. And the person who doesn't live with the child is referred to as the non-resident parent. And that non-resident parent must pay to support their children.
Yes.
Obviously, both parents have to support their children. But the way the child maintenance system works is that the non-resident parent pays the person who is the carer of those children. Now, the Child Maintenance Service, which has replaced the Child Support Agency and every other acronym that's gone before it for the last 10 years.
You just get used to them and then they change them.
They do like to make it complicated. They actually calculate for you what the child maintenance amount should be. They look at what your income is, but they look at it before tax, so what we'd call your gross income. Yes. Most of us actually think about our income with regards to our net, what we see each month, but actually the Child Maintenance Service looks actually at your gross income, and it's actually your gross less your pension amount that's paid.
So if somebody, for example, was going to go down the line and they had to pay child maintenance, is that taken off of the gross then? So you, it's almost like, for example, I don't know, student loan that just goes out and you don't actually see it because it's taken off before it comes into your account. So is it taken off like that?
It's another it depends. So hopefully it won't be taken off by that like that. And the reason I say hopefully is you and your ex-spouse will do the child maintenance calculator.
Right.
You'll have a definite amount and you'll pay it each month directly to them because you've hopefully developed an amicable relationship that means you can have that conversation and do that. In cases where sadly you haven't got to that point, that it's not agreed and actually the Child Maintenance Service does accept that non-resident parents should be paying, worst case scenario, they can pursue you directly for the child maintenance money. Hopefully, therefore, it wouldn't ever come out directly out of your wage. It will be an agreement that you come to.
Okay. So what about spousal maintenance then? How's that differ from child maintenance?
Yes. Can I tell you one more thing about child maintenance,
yes,
though, before
sorry,
we talk about spousal maintenance?
Yeah.
No, that's not a problem. So I talked about the fact that it's about what your gross income is.
Yes.
It's also then about how often you see your children.
Right.
So the amount of what we call overnight stays that you have with your children will then reduce down the amount of child maintenance that you pay,
right,
which makes good sense because actually what you're doing is paying for the care of your children. So if you are caring for them a couple of days, a couple of nights a week, then the amount is reduced down.
So you can imagine, I mean, this is a very just sweeping generalisation. If one parent has got them during the week, the other has them at the weekend. That sort of arrangement, because you're having them in the weekend, your maintenance will come down slightly.
Yeah, if you're having those overnight stays, your maintenance will come down slightly.
Perfect. Okay, spousal maintenance. How does this work?
Yes, so spousal maintenance, as I said, is about actually paying for your spouse and not for your child. Whether or not you are going to get spousal maintenance, well, there's a kind of number of relevant factors. The thing and the starting point to bear in mind is that it's not just about the recipient's needs, it's about the payer's ability to pay. So to be blunt, if there's not a lot of money in the pot, then it's going to be hard to make a claim for spousal maintenance.
Is this aimed more at wealthier people then?
Yes and no, because the concept of wealthy is quite difficult. And what I mean by that is you can be asset poor, but income rich.
Yes.
And this is actually about your income.
Right.
So it's a mixed bag, but it is more frequently seen in those that are richer.
Yeah.
But more and more these days, actually, we see people who don't have an awful lot of assets, but have quite high income. Good on them, they've worked hard in life to get that, but that's where you start to look at whether there's a relevant kind of income claim. So the kind of factors that will be taken into account, whether you have children that are aged under 18, your needs and your ability to earn an income for you and your spouse. So as I said, what one party needs and what one party's ability to pay is. Your standard of living. There is a case actually last year, which I think probably brought a wry smile to the standard normal people among us, where a wife was claiming income needs of about £150,000 a year. Yeah, she actually got quite close to that though, because her standard of living was so high previously. Yeah. So that is going to be relevant. But equally, they could show, and it was a classic stereotype, I'm afraid, they could show that husband did have the ability to afford to pay that much. Yeah. How old you are is going to be relevant, and how long you've been married, any special needs that you may have, such as kind of health issues, and equally kind of the contributions you've made. And what I mean by that is not just financial. The court is equally concerned as the contributions to the welfare of your family as much as the pay packet you bring in each month.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. So if people want to find out more and they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of different ways. Contact us at the office and you'll be able to speak with our secretaries and solicitor. Harrogate number 730711. Drop us an email. We're always happy to hear from clients that way. Just get in contact as easy as it is for you.
And if you missed anything on the show tonight, don't worry, you can listen to the clips again. They're all broken up and put on our website for you, so you can have a listen to them at your own convenience at strayfm.com. Just look under the specialist shows section and Harrogate Family Law. Claudia, thanks so much, it's really interesting, and thank you for making it seem so clear.
Thank you, James.